Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome to our Thanksgiving edition of the Blitzed Podcast. I have to be honest with you, I'm very thankful to have my partner in crime, Harley Schultz, joining me not just this week, but every week during the football season. Harley, how's it going?
It's going good. It's getting into that time where the holidays are starting to come around, so you got to start thinking about, well, what are you going to get people for Christmas, or what are you going to do for Thanksgiving this week, obviously. Some people probably have already started brining their turkeys. Fortunately, here in the Twin Cities, we are at the point now that we're finally going to get a chance to return to have dinner with my parents this year. Last year, obviously, with the COVID concerns, my parents didn't want to host a Thanksgiving. So it was just myself, my wife, and my brother and his wife. But now this year we'll be able all to get together, which is going to be really nice.
Well, that's good. That is very good. We're going to be doing it at home, my wife, myself, and my mother-in-law, like we always do. And we've got a multitude of things that we'll be having. But I'll be honest with you. So, yeah, the holidays are upon us now, right? But my favorite thing is to kick the holiday off with a Thanksgiving Day feast because we get to go back 4 seconds. Double dose of food is never a bad thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, stuffing the bird, right? You got to eat all that food because with the lineup of games this Thursday, you're going to want to take a long, long nap.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
So, it's ugly. It's really ugly this year.
So before we actually can get into it, I was going to say, man, what would be great would be to have a double dose or, go back for seconds with Harley on this week's Blitz Podcast News. But instead, this is going to be a single serving. So I'm just going to throw it over to him for this week's Blitz Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Kevin Stefanski has committed to continuing to start Baker Mayfield regardless of his mounting injuries. At this point, the Browns might as well release a team edition version of the game Operation with Mayfield playing the role of Cavity Sam. I'm pretty sure that he has all of the game's injuries except broken heart and writer's cramp. Jamal Agnew was lost for the season with a hip injury, joining fellow wide receiver DJ Chark on the IR for the Jaguars. We can hope that this means that Laviska Shenault will finally get the target share he rightfully deserves. Of course, this is Urban Meyer's we're talking about, so he will probably just convert another defensive back to wide receiver instead. The New York Jets' leading rusher Michael Carter will miss the next couple of weeks with an ankle injury. This could open the door for Tevin Coleman to return to hell no. There ain't no way that Tevin Coleman will ever be relevant again. Rob Gronkowski has been deemed healthy enough to return to the field Monday night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Unfortunately, he still has not been deemed eligible to join USAA. And finally, stop me if you've heard this before, but much like clockwork, Rashad Penny is injured once again. This has been your BPN News Update.
Okay, I got to be honest with you. This week's was great. And quite honestly, what people don't know, we always say that we don't talk about things beforehand, and this is no different. We don't even talk about the news and stuff in advance. And it took 3 takes tonight for me to get us going through the intro, right? Which usually it's first take and we roll. Actually, it was take. So I actually got it right on a 4th take. I almost hit stop when you got the Tevin Coleman bit. I thought you messed up. I truly did. I really honestly thought that. The other thing, look, I know I've got a few years on you, I think, at least. I'm going to be 55 in February. Operation was a go-to game for me when I was a kid. I did not know his name was Cavity Sam.
You know, I actually found that out. It was a question on a trivia contest here in the Twin Cities. I think it's actually a across-the-country trivia company called Sporkle.com. They host live trivia events, and during the COVID pandemic, they actually had online trivia events where your team could go onto a Zoom conference call and compete for trivia prizes. One of the questions in one of the events last year was, what is the name of the character on Operation? And that's how I found out who it was.
Cool. I think it's cool to know that. I was never any good at it, but I did like seeing his nose buzz and zzz, you know.
The one I always had the hardest trouble with was the rubber band, the knee bones connected to the ankle bone one, where you had to get the rubber band out. It's like, nah, that never worked. Plus, the rubber band got old after time.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're anything like me, the rubber band was gone. Like, I never had the rubber band to try. Because I'm sure the game was a pass down, or my grandmother bought it for us. Truly, I don't know that we ever had the rubber band to remove.
Well, and I guess nowadays we've actually added a couple of more things in the last couple of years, including brain freeze.
Oh, really?
Which is an interesting one.
Huh? Didn't know.
It looks like an ice cream cone that goes in his head.
Nice. I got you. So yeah, played that, and it also had, I think they were called Barrel of Monkeys.
Oh, I love Barrel of Monkeys, where you get the literal barrel of monkeys, and you had to grab them one at a time by each other's arms. So they're basically just hanging there.
Right.
And as soon as someone dropped one, that person lost.
So we had two different games of Barrel of Monkeys, and I don't know if this is normal, so I don't know which one you're talking about. But there's the smaller ones that are maybe about 2 inches in size. And then we had the ones that probably could have been called Gorillas, because they were probably a good 4 inches in size. They were much larger. And they came in a bigger barrel. So we had both of those.
I think about my favorite game, though, as a youth in the Minneapolis area, was I had one of those handheld electronic football games.
Yeah.
The one where it's basically just the three lines and you're moving the line there trying to get the touchdown.
Yep.
That was by far the best game for me growing up.
Yeah, that one was a little bit past my childhood where I would have done that. My brother had a friend that had that, and that's how I, you know, tried to act like I was too cool for it at that point, but it was cool. I also had Lincoln Logs, no Tinker Toys, but had Lincoln Logs. Yes, I'm old as dirt.
No, I also had Lincoln Logs. We had Erector sets, which were fun because I had Erector sets before they got to the point where they started putting actual moving gears into them. I guess that's a popular thing now for kids. You can actually get ones that have moving gears. So basically you can tear the flesh off of people if you really wanted to with them.
So the other thing, two things, G.I. Joe, when there was one man, not a whole combat army of G.I. Joe. At least that's what I thought. The guy with the beard. You know what I mean? And then the other go-to game was the paddle with the ball that you can never do past like three hits.
Well, I still remember the best Christmas ever for me, I think, was going to open up underneath the Christmas tree. There was what I knew was already going to be there. It was the giant, the USS flag for the G.I. Joe thing. It was nearly 6 foot long aircraft carrier. The greatest play set ever for any kid growing up. And again, that was, I kind of wish I would have kept it in the box, because I know nowadays those things sell for like $5,000, but
right.
It was a great toy to break out and actually play with back then.
One of the ones I remember, and this is not going to sound all that fun probably, but I remember getting a Tonka truck, but one of those dump trucks, like that.
Okay.
It doesn't really look like a vehicle. It's like a truly like on the excavation sites with the big dump body. And it was metal, not plastic like they get today.
Yeah, if you can find those classic toys made of metal like stuff from Minnetonka brands, they actually have a very good resale market nowadays too, because people like the toys from their youth, but they also like toys that were made to last.
Yes, that's the key. And same with Matchbox cars back then. Like, they were actually die-cast steel. I don't think they are now, are they? I have no idea. But I know that personally because I lost a front tooth to a Matchbox car. My brother, who's 4 years younger than me, I guess I was about, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. He got mad and fired one at point blank range right into my face and broke my front tooth.
Ouch.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, especially when I tried to breathe. That's when I realized that roots don't like oxygen.
I never had the pleasure of taking out a tooth with a car before, but I'm sure that had to hurt.
It did. It did. I'm sure that it hurt my brother when my father found out too, but that's for another day. Anyway, let's try and reroute this back to the fantasy land that we're going to look at this week. There will be no segments about who to start, what and why you should target somebody for, you know, the playoffs. And that is because it is all about going in for seconds, the double dose of daily DFS. That's right.
Oh, you know it.
Double DFS this week. So, as we said earlier, for those that don't know, Harley and I do not discuss this in advance. Harley, do you want to set the over-under for each or all told?
Ooh. It's such a small slate of talent to choose from on Thursday. As I mentioned earlier, the games are really craptastic. So I have a feeling that we're going to hit a lot of matches on Thursday, which is kind of painful from a DFS standpoint because it's going to take a lot of creative differentiation to win and not split money big time up top in all the GPPs this week.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you a number for Thursday, which I believe is going to be 7. And then I'm going to give you a number for this coming Sunday, which has a slightly smaller slate this week because of the 3 games on Thursday. Ironically, there's actually a couple teams on bye this week, too, including the Kansas City Chiefs, who got lucky enough to get to take Thanksgiving Day off and spend time with their families. But for the Sunday games, the line is going to be on 6.
So you want to just set them as a combined 13?
I don't want to do that because I really think that we're going to go over on Thursday the more I think about it.
Okay. 13. So we're looking at 3 and 12 is 24. That puts us at more than 50% matching. I was going to want to take the over on both, but I can't. I'm going to go over under. How's that?
Yep. I think that's probably the way to go. I think we might actually have some differentiation on Sunday. Much like Thursday, there's a lot of chaff to weed through on Sunday's slate, but I think there's a couple of pretty obvious ones there.
Yes, I agree. And by reason of deduction, I think you get there. All right, well, let's start with Sunday. Who are you paying up for at quarterback? And I'm going to break this to everybody. It's not going to be Trevor Siemian. Go ahead.
Do you want to start with Sunday or Thursday? You said Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. In my head, Sunday comes before Thursday. What I meant was start with Thanksgiving Day.
Okay, that probably makes more sense.
Yes.
The player that I'm going to pay up for at quarterback this week is going to be Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are at home versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I realize that Dallas will more than likely be without their top 2 wide receivers, but they still have a fairly strong offense, and Vegas' defense is the second weakest on the current slate of games. Plus, there's still a slight outside chance that either CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper might play. Again, I'm not counting on it. We'll obviously know more as we get closer to Thursday, so by the time this is released to you guys, either tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning, we might know more on that. But, I mean, right now, there is at least a thin sliver of a chance that one of them might play. But even if they don't, I still think that if you're going to pay up, you might as well pay up for him because Josh Allen's price is just a bit too high for me.
So we don't match, believe it or not. And I want to make sure that you know this. Based on what I know about the concussion protocol, there's no way CeeDee Lamb can play. It's minimum 5 days. The game's 4 days away.
Well, Najee Harris came back after just 3 plays.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Was he dead?
He went in to be checked out for it, at least.
Yes, I am Batman. I am Batman.
I've read that he's listed as doubtful right now. So, again, I'm pretty certain he's not going to play. Same goes with Cooper. But, again, there's always a hope and a prayer.
So here's where I am. Because I do believe they're going to be without both of those wide receivers, which elevates Michael Gallup, which elevates Cedric Wilson, which elevates Noah Brown, which elevates Dalton Schultz. In my mind, I've got to pay up for Josh Allen, right? Because, and the Saints, they've got a defense that's middle of the road, but you just saw what Jalen Hurts did to him with his legs. We already know that Josh Allen's going to run the ball near the stripe. that's why I don't mind paying that extra $900, honestly. I just think there's a lot of risk for Dak, so I'm just going to segue right into it and say Dak's my stay away because of that.
I can get behind that argument, actually. I think with me, with Josh Allen, even more so than the extra dollar amount, obviously New Orleans' passing defense is fairly good. Their run defense is very, very good. But yes, obviously, they just gave up a few rushing touchdowns, so it's certainly possible that Allen could run one or two in. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, I looked at putting together various roster constructs for this Thursday slate already. I've got quite a few entered in already. And I found it very, very hard to get the other players that I wanted and still fit Allen's salary.
I can understand that. I absolutely understand it. Who are you going to stay away from? Allen, right?
Oh, I'm staying away from Trevor Siemian.
Oh, come on. Because,
again, you can make an argument for actually playing Josh Allen based on the fact that he's not that much more. So I'm not going to say stay away from Josh Allen because I think he's still an okay play. But, yes, please don't put Trevor Siemian into your lineup. Buffalo proved last week that they're touchable against the run.
Right. Yes.
They're still absolutely elite against the pass. They've allowed 7 passing touchdowns all season. The next closest team has allowed 12 passing touchdowns. By the way, Buffalo has also allowed 220 fewer passing yards than the next closest team. And you can count on Siemian to do okay against so-so defenses, and not in the spot like this.
So here's my concern with Siemian also. I didn't put him as my stay away just because I figured people would know better. It's a short week, right? So you shouldn't expect that Simeon's going to get replaced by Taysom Hill, and Hill's been dealing with that foot injury. But that would be so Sean Payton to make that switch on a short week where it puts the opposition at a slight, you know, disadvantage, having not prepared for it, not thinking that's what could happen.
Well, it's comical that you mentioned that. I haven't dug into it yet, but as we were preparing for the show today, a little blurb flashed across the bottom of the screen. And again, this is Monday night. We're recording this while watching the Tampa Bay New York Giants game. Small blurb about Taysom Hill signing an extension. So,
right. Okay, so who is your value play? I think we may match here.
You know, I thought really hard about this one, and there are obviously a couple different options for me to look at and choose from. I decided to go with the safer of the two. I'm going to go with Derek Carr for the Raiders against Dallas. Yep. Dallas' defense has played better than they did earlier this year, but they're still no better than middle of the pack against the pass. And the big thing is that they're prone to allowing big plays. And even without Henry Ruggs, one of the things Derek Carr does well is throw the deep ball.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is number 11 overall in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback spot. And while you would go 5,900, it's not a very good salary for a value play. It is when you look at what he's a value against.
Exactly. I mean, on the board, the only guaranteed starters below him is Trevor Siemian. Obviously, we don't know who's going to start between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields yet.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, that's the first pair that I wrote down was Dalton/Fields and was going to qualify it with whoever gets to start, go with them. But I still didn't even feel good about that, quite honestly, not for $400, where I know that, look, I do think that Dallas probably will win this game. I do think that Las Vegas is going to have to throw the ball. So therefore, 250 to 300 and 2 to 3 touchdowns, even if it's garbage stuff for Carr, isn't out of, you know, the realistic expectation of what we could see. I don't know that you can get enough from Andy or Justin otherwise. So that's why I landed on Carr.
Exactly. Again, it's a small slate, so that's why I said it's going to be very, very tough to find value, to find players that are going to be able to fit into your lineup. And that, again, that goes back to why I decided not to use Josh Allen, just because I really want to spend up at the running back position.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to talk about that next, right?
We can go ahead, run on over to running back. By the way, we only have one match through the first three. That does not bode well for the over.
No, it does not. The price is very, very high in regard to Ezekiel Elliott this week, but Vegas has allowed more than their share of running back scores this year. Plus, with a shorthanded passing game, Dallas is more likely to lean on their running game, probably use Zeke in more of the passing, put out wide like they did this past weekend with Tony Pollard lined up in the backfield. So both of them obviously make okay options. But obviously, Zeke at his price tag being the highest priced guy on the board would be the guy that I would pay up for.
We agree there, and you got there in the same way that I thought about it. It's really all about, look, they aren't going to have the passing pieces that they normally have. I can clearly see this being a lean on Zeke type game.
Yep. So I cheated at stay away.
I probably did too.
But I think I cheated for a different reason than you.
Possibly. Go ahead.
We might have a match, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm going to give you three chances to match me. Because my stay away is all three of the Bills running backs. Devin Singletary, Matt Breida, and Zach Moss. Only two teams have allowed fewer total yards to the running back position than New Orleans. Plus, these three eat into each other's touches. And all three rank behind Josh Allen in the Bills' rushing game plan.
Unfortunately, they're all sub $5,000. I'm not even looking at them as a stay away. my cheat is I'm actually staying away from Alvin Kamara because I don't know what to expect from Alvin Kamara coming back from injury, or is he not coming back from injury? And it's tempting. It's absolutely tempting at home against a Bills team that just got decimated by Jonathan Taylor. I have
no excuse for what happened there.
And I also don't think that we see see something like that replicated. So even if Kamara plays, I think people are going to be playing him over what the expectation should be based on the association with what Taylor just did. I'm staying away from Alvin Kamara. And I thought it was going to be a cheat because he was out last week and we're not sure what's happening with him injury-wise.
Yep. Who's your value play? This should be interesting.
Yeah. Looked a few different spots, and I landed on a guy who's not as cheap as you would think, but I'm going to say my value play is David Montgomery. $6,000, but he is playing a Detroit Lions team that has only seen the Falcons, Seahawks, and Jets give up more points to the running back position.
We have a match at value play there. Again, $6,000 is high for a value play in general, but he is still the fifth out of 16 qualifying running backs on our board tonight. So obviously his FanDuel price is higher than that.
Yeah.
And his value on FanDuel is actually a little bit less too, because they only give you that half point per reception. In that case, for FanDuel purposes, Mark Ingram might be the better option, or Tony Pollard, again, possibly working out of the backfield. Might be a value option there. But I do like David Montgomery a lot, much for the same reason. You know, Detroit's allowed 17 total running back touchdowns. That's the second most in the league. At $6,000, that's going to be a value. He's going to hit 20 points. That's going to be three times value on DraftKings, easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's going to be a guy that's going to replicate what Jonathan Taylor or Austin Ekeler did this past week, in my mind, it's possibly David Montgomery.
Yes.
And look, he's not going to hit that. But if he hits a half of that, you've got a plus spot.
Exactly. And again, you have to save a little bit of money there, because again, in a lot of my lineups this week for running back, the reason I'm spending down a little bit at quarterback is because I want to roster three of Ezekiel Elliott, DeAndre Swift, Mark Ingram, and David Montgomery. So three of those four will be in pretty much all of my lineups.
Right. Nope, I feel you. I get it. I do. I completely understand that. All right, so let's go on over to the wide receiver position and tell me who you're going to pay up for here.
Well, if you had told me this guy was going to be my pay up, I would have probably laughed at you if I said this like 5 weeks ago, because he wasn't even active 5 weeks ago. That's Michael Gallup of the Cowboys versus Las Vegas. His price is $5,900 on DraftKings, $6,500 on FanDuel. That is actually the fourth highest priced player on DraftKings at wide receiver at $5,900. That's just kind of crazy. But you know what? Someone has to be Dak Prescott's wide receiver one this week. Vegas has allowed only 8 wide receiver scores all season, which is kind of scary. But 3 of those 8 have come in the last 2 weeks. They clearly aren't performing quite like they did early on. And I think that, I mean, Gallup's going to be targeted a lot here.
So I agree. I agree with all that. But guess what? He's not my pay-up. My pay-up is a guy that, and you were going right down there because I thought you were going to say you're against a team that you wouldn't expect, that you would expect it to be a good matchup, blah, blah, blah. But it's Stephon Diggs, I'm expecting a big bounce back from Josh Allen and the Bills this week, so I'm doing the stack. The Saints, okay, the only teams that have given up more points, more fantasy points to the fantasy wide receiver position than the Saints are the Titans, the Washington football team, and the Dolphins. That's it. That's shocking to me. I did not expect to see them so high on the list. When I first, at first blush, looked at this before I start researching, I'm expecting Stephon Diggs to be my stay away. But when you
Stephon Diggs is my stay away.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to go there. But when I see CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, I'm like, those guys clearly are stayaways, but they're both hurt. So, okay, that's why I'm paying up for Diggs. I actually think it's a very strong matchup where you won't have as many people playing him because of the price and because of the matchup.
That is the one reason really to use him, is that there should be a fear of starting him this week.
Yep.
And Diggs, for his defense, has actually done decent this year when he's been matched up against great cornerbacks. But Marshawn Lattimore has been otherworldly this year against wide receiver ones. That's the biggest thing to look at here. The Bills are going to score some points here, and yes, the New Orleans secondary can be beat, but they can be beat by their second and third cornerbacks. And that's why if you're looking at getting offensive representation in that game, you got to look at Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders and Gabriel Davis more so than Stephon Diggs. But A, because they're each $2,500 to $3,000 cheaper, but also because Marshawn Lattimore will shadow Stephon Diggs. So, I mean, Stephon Diggs might catch 8 passes for 80 yards and a touchdown, and that's 24 points. That's just barely hitting 3X on DraftKings, and that's not hitting 3X on FanDuel. And that's kind of where you're hoping his ceiling is, where you're hoping he might hit this week. He's probably going to finish lower than that.
I think he winds up in the 6 to 8 catch, 100 to 120-yard range with 2 touchdowns this week.
Again, I think the second touchdown, if he can manage 2 touchdowns, which he obviously needs. Nobody has, no number one wide receiver has done against New Orleans this year. That would be really impressive.
He needs,
but again, if anyone can do it, it's Diggs.
Yep. So I'm going to skip my stay away for a minute because I want to go to my value play. Because you mentioned a few guys, I was looking at Sanders and Cole Beasley, the injury designation has me worried about Cole. Gabriel Davis looked pretty good recently, but I can't. My value play is actually Michael Gallup, who you're paying up for. So, not a match there, but same thought process. And you've already said that you're staying away from Diggs. So now I'm going to wrap back up to my stay away. And it kind of ties into the way we were looking at the quarterback spot. The guy that I think will probably get overplayed somewhat because he had a big touchdown this past week is Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney. I looked down.
Yep.
Whatever. Darnell Mooney. The Lions are in the bottom half of teams in points allowed to the fantasy wide receiver position. I just see so many better options that you can go for than to try and force Mooney without knowing what you've got at quarterback this week.
I absolutely agree. I think that obviously I give him a slight tick up if Dalton's under center, just because at this point in their careers, Dalton is just a better quarterback than Justin Fields. I mean, again, obviously I don't believe that's going to be the case forever.
Right.
I think that Fields has talent, but he is clearly not ready at this point in his career to be a featured NFL starting quarterback. Every other team, with the exception of the Patriots, has kind of taken their time with their rookie quarterbacks this year, and they've not really accomplished anything. The ones that have started, guys like Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, have both completely pooped the bed in their starting opportunities. So it's kind of scary that Justin Fields has gotten this long of a rope so far this year with a proven veteran such as Dalton on the bench behind him.
Yeah. Anyway, we're definitely not going to hit the over. We're not even going to push. If we clear the tight end spot, we're going to hit 6. So,
well, let me give you my value play at wide receiver first.
Oh, that's right. You didn't do that yet, did you? Because I thought it was Gallup. Yeah. So that's mine. Go ahead.
Well, remember, I told you that I'm paying up for Dak Prescott.
That's right.
I told you that I'm paying up for Michael Gallup.
Yep.
I am also going to take as my value play Cedric Wilson.
Oh, my God. You want to know who I wrote
down?
We
are going full on Voltron stack this week.
So the first person that I had written down as my value play was Gallup. And then I went and I wrote Cedric Wilson down because I was like, I'll really just save a lot of value, like, you know, a lot of money right here. But I couldn't buy. You paid up for Gallup, so you had the ability to do that. Because I didn't. That's why I plugged him in. But I don't disagree with you whatsoever. The only one I'd probably stay away from is Noah Brown.
Yep. Noah Brown actually was targeted a few times this past week, too. They also have, is it Malik? Not Malik Turner. What's the Malik there? Malik Taylor there, who could be a deep. Yeah, there's his Malik Turner. I always get the two confused. Malik Taylor's with the Green Bay Packers, I believe.
And then,
yeah, you know, Cedric Wilson is 3,500 on DraftKings. He's a little higher. He's at 5,600 on FanDuel. But he's basically going to be the second starting outside wide receiver this coming week. He's got obvious uptick in usage just since Amari Cooper has been out. Now he's going to be starting. I think that we've seen, and I talked about this a little bit with Gallup, that the Las Vegas secondary, while they've been good coming into the last few weeks, they've started to slow down and slip a little bit, kind of coinciding with the firing of their head coach.
Yeah.
So Wilson won't take much to return 3X value on DraftKings.
No, I don't disagree at all because last week, I mean, granted, you had CeeDee Lamb, who started but did not finish the game. Wilson wound up third on the team in targets. Gallup led with 10. Schultz was second with 8, but Wilson had 7. So he was right there. And I think that you see that, you know, without CeeDee Lamb, that could have been higher. So I think he's a great play this week.
Well, so sliding into the tight end position, I mentioned going full Voltron with the Dallas Cowboys. So that would suggest that I'm going to take Dalton Schultz as my pay-to-play tight end. But I'm not. Even I know that you can only score so many points with one team in a game. But I do like the idea of the game stack, so I'm going to run it back with Darren Waller of the Raiders at 6,400 on DraftKings, 7,300 on FanDuel. He's the highest priced guy. Realistically, you cannot afford to squeeze Darren Waller into your lineup if you also roster Stephon Diggs. So that won't work financially. It just won't. So obviously, if you want Diggs in your lineup, you won't be able to use Waller. You'll probably be pivoting to Dalton Schultz or TJ Hockenson or Dawson Knox, someone like that. But if you get the chance to play Waller, he finally topped 100 yards again this past week. Obviously, he gave up. The score was ceded over to Foster Moreau. But Dallas's defense has performed better against the tight end position in recent weeks. But every single upper echelon tight end that they've faced this year, like all the guys in Waller's stratosphere, they have been absolutely abused by. The tight ends that they've held in check are the also-rans of the league.
So I really thought we were going to have the match there because I am paying up for Dalton Schultz as my pay up. And okay, so now we got to rewind this a little bit. So you didn't pay up for Schultz because you went pure Voltron and you went Dak and you went Zeke and you went Gallup and you went Cedric Wilson, right?
Yep. Yes.
I said I was staying away from Dak. So how does that make any sense? Well, in my mind, I still think it's a big Zeke week, right? And
yes.
I still want exposure to it because there is a chance that Dak has a decent game, right? Here's the thing. At price, Gallup can have a good game when Dak has a bad one. Say that he throws for 275 and 2. Okay? That's not a great week for the quarterback. But if that's split up between Gallup and Schultz and Cedric Wilson and you got Schultz goes 6 for 80 and 1 and Gallup goes, you know, 7 catches for a buck 15 and a touchdown, and then you got Cedric Wilson hauling in 6 for 80 or something like that, they all pay off, but Dak doesn't really. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's, and then because I did go Diggs, I have to find value, so I might as well take it at my pay up with Schultz.
What's interesting is none of us has paid up for a Detroit Lion yet.
No, we have not. We have not.
Yeah, so when we're looking at Detroit Lions, you've got two options. Goff may start. We don't know his test yet. He apparently had a limited practice on Monday. But last week we got the not-quite-ready-for-primetime player, Tim Boyle. they also have David Blow. So assuming Goff doesn't start, we really have a choice between Sucks and Blow. Neither one's a good choice.
Yep.
I'm... I'm not going to stay away from TJ Hockenson this week, although I certainly wouldn't have an argument for or against it one way or the other. His price is a little bit cheaper, obviously, than Waller and Schultz, but he's not going to be my stay away. My stay away is a guy that's going to be rostered by a lot of people this week based on last week's result, and that's Adam Trautman. He's actually been trending up ever since Trevor Siemian took over because he's actually been being targeted a lot with Siemian under center. He's got a lower salary, but because of what he did last week, he's going to be owned by a lot of people. And this defense just doesn't allow points to the tight end position. So,
wait a minute. So you're cheating because they've already said he's out for 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain.
Adam Trautman is?
Yes.
How did I miss this?
I don't know. You're the tight end whisperer. That's what I'm wondering.
I totally missed this. I'm sorry.
Let me double check, make sure I'm not confusing him with somebody else now. I mean, my goodness. Because you never know.
I'm not one to not admit if I've made a mistake, but I did not read that.
Let's see here. Hold on. We're going to have to go here real quick, and we're going to check. And you might be able
this to. This is when we start playing the Jeopardy music in the background here.
Yep, because my computer is not being very...
I actually had the pleasure of starting him in a couple of spots last week, and he actually paid off really well for me.
Yeah, he was a good pick last week because he was playing those Philadelphia Eagles.
He was playing the Philadelphia Eagles, who absolutely are rotten against the tight end. And I'm quickly looking down now to my team to see if I can find out information on. And I'm not seeing any injury designation next to his name, at least on my fantasy league.
I've got it here. Hold on.
I just found it. It's not showing up as an injury designation, but there is a news story here that Adam Trautman is out for 4 to 6 weeks. So
yep, dude.
You can go ahead and disregard this. Again, this just came out in the last 2 to 3 hours. It looks like for whatever reason, my fantasy league has not posted yet that he's out. It just says this is information. So
yep. And I'm going to save you too, because we're recording right now and it is 8:38, and it was reported almost exactly 3 hours ago by Adam Schefter. So.
Yeah, so in that case, let me go ahead and give you a different stay away for this week. And I'm going to go ahead and stay away from TJ Hockenson then.
Yay, we have a match now because of that. Yes, I'm staying away from Hockenson. Not a great matchup, not a great price. He's actually priced higher than Dalton Schultz on FanDuel. And I have no confidence in the quarterback position right there right now.
Oh, come on. You don't trust David Blow or Jared Goff to make him relevant?
Who? So David Blow, so he's a quarterback and he blows. Isn't there a kicker? I forget his name. His name almost sounds like Miss It or
Blew It.
Blew It.
The kicker named Blew It.
The Lions need to sign him and start Blow at the same time. All right, so I don't think we're going to match on our value play based on what you led in with about Adam Trautman. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Juwan Johnson, $2,600. Man, it's hard to pass that up if you're really just trying to push some other stuff into your lineup.
No, well, with the news about Trautman, certainly I think that increases his value going into this game. But
You don't have Nick Vinette listed on my list. What's he priced at?
Oh, boy. I'd have to dig that one up for you. Give me one sec. Nick Vinette is... On DraftKings.
He's the one that actually got the reception and snaps this week versus Johnson didn't see any targets.
I was going to say, Johnson had those two huge touchdowns in week one. Remember, don't we chase touchdowns? Yes. And Nick Vinette, $2,500 on DraftKings. So he's also right there at league minimum on that site. And on FanDuel, he comes in at a little bit higher, obviously, because they always put them. $4,200 actually is not that expensive on FanDuel.
So there you go. I'm not going Juwan Johnson. I'm going Nick Vinette as my value play.
I can agree with that, certainly, with the knowledge that Adam Trautman is out. Who's your value? So he's your value play. My value play is going to be Cole Kmet.
Okay.
Cole Kmet is basically us picking on the Lions. Prior to last week, Kmet was trending upward. Then, obviously, old man Andy Dalton showed up, and he started targeting nothing but old man Jimmy Graham. But, you know, either one could be a play this week. Just Cole's got more talent at this point in his career. I just think he's the better play.
Yeah, so I looked at that. I wanted to like one of them. It felt like Jimmy Graham had a whole lot more catches than he actually had. I think he had two, which shocked me because it did. It felt like it was just force feed Jimmy Graham time, right?
Yeah.
But it almost $2,000 more than Nick Vannett. I mean, in the Lions, it's easy to pick on them, but they're in the bottom half in points allowed to the tight end position. I still not going to say I hate it, but if you're going to try and save that money, I'd rather save another almost $1,500, $1,200.
Makes sense.
So, all right. So a whopping 4 matches.
Wow.
4. That's rough. Well, watch us kill the over here and get 10 out of 12 or something.
So we're on to Sunday now.
We are. And the double DFS shows should usually normally be faster than our normal shows. And we're 40 minutes in. We're trending longer. And that was the short stack. So let's see what we can do here. Who are you going to pay up for a quarterback?
Well, right now we're watching the guy that I'm paying up for a quarterback, and that's the GOAT, Tom Brady. Tampa Bay is at Indy. Brady may get Antonio Brown back for this game. But at the very least, he's going to have Godwin. He's going to have Evans. He's going to have Gronk. He's going to have Brate. He's going to have Tyler Johnson. Probably have Scotty Miller back for this game. Indy has allowed the 7th most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns in the league. And you know what? Brady, in week 10, he had his 2nd worst game of the year. But he's thrown for 4 more touchdowns in 5 of his 9 starts going into Monday night here. So I like him to have another 4-touchdown game.
We have a match. I agree with you about Tom Brady. Just it's going back to the well one more time to say he's got to pay back off because, yeah, it's been poor the past couple weeks. But let's see what happens. I'm paying up for him too.
Who's your stay away? I had a couple options here at stay away, so.
Yeah, I did too. I had Aaron Rodgers first. Then I wrote down another guy who is coming off a fantastic week. I do not like his matchup, and that's Justin Herbert. But I wound up going back to A-Rod. He's dealing with what sounds to be a turf toe injury. And maybe that's a cop-out from me, but there's just no reason to pay his price when he has, look, turf toe, more important for a wide receiver or running back, right, if how it hurts mm-hmm. them. But, hey, as a quarterback, you still got to be able to plant and run and, you know, move the pocket and stuff
and
like
get
that.
Away from Aaron Donald.
And get away from Aaron Donald. And then you factor in, even if he was healthy, it's not the best matchup in the world. So I'm staying away from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and I weighed on Aaron Rodgers a lot. I thought about him, and I actually ended up settling on Justin Herbert. Again, I think everyone is going to be on Justin Herbert based on his performance last night against Pittsburgh. But you know, only 2 teams have allowed fewer passing touchdowns this year than the Denver Broncos, and only 5 teams have allowed fewer passing yards. Green Bay is playing in Green Bay, so I think Rodgers still has a little bit of a home field security blanket to work with.
Yeah.
Herbert's traveling to Denver, where we certainly could see some weather possibly come into play. We could also see weather in up in Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers obviously is much more familiar with playing in weather than Justin Herbert is. So I'd rather go with Rodgers at home, even slightly gimpy, versus the Rams than Herbert in an equally tough matchup against Denver on the road.
Yeah, look, I already told you I had them both written down, so you get no complaint from me. I just decided to go with the one that was priced just a tad higher. And yeah, look, when it comes to the Broncos, only 4 teams have given up fewer points to quarterbacks than they have this year. So no harm in sitting Herbert, which is probably going to be hard for a lot of people to do based off of what he just did to the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll go. This was not the Steelers.
No.
This was the Steelers minus Joe Hayden. Minus Minka Fitzpatrick, minus T.J. Watt.
Right, but a lot of people won't realize that.
Exactly. All they'll look at is they'll see that number and they'll chase the stats from this past Monday, from this past Sunday night.
So speaking of Ben, I'm going to just go ahead and transition into my value play. And I'm looking and I'm picking up, looking at my value play. And I go, wait, Ben Roethlisberger is only $100 more than Zach Wilson at Cincinnati? Come on, so I write Ben down. But I'm like, I gotta look around him. Something's gotta be wrong here. This has to be a trap. So then Cam Newton. He's only $400 more. He's on the road at Miami. Miami's not that great against quarterbacks. Cam's already showed he can.
But look at Cam's FanDuel price.
Yeah, I know. That's a different story. Then I'm like, go back down, look at Roethlisberger again, and I see Joe Flacco under him facing the Jets. And I'm like, but it's Flacco. But I wrote Flacco down, but I crossed him out too. And now I'm looking at those three, and I circle Cam. Okay, I'm going to go Cam. Forget it. That's who I'm going to go with because he'll be able to bail us out with his legs. And then as I'm looking at him, telling myself that's who I'm going with, I say, legs, home game. You know what? Daniel Jones is my value play.
I avoided going with Cam just because he is not a value on FanDuel at all. He's at $8,000. It's like the seventh highest played player on FanDuel. I went with your first instinct and went with Ben Roethlisberger. His top two wide receivers are back now. I think that this game's going to be a shootout between a Cincinnati team that can score points, and Pittsburgh obviously can score points through the air. He's actually struggled in recent years against Cincinnati, but their defense is kind of on the downswing this year compared to the last 2 years. So I like Roethlisberger at this price. It's just ridiculous.
It feels like a trap to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. It feels like this is going to be one of those ugly games like you just saw the Ravens and the Bears play, honestly.
Yeah.
And at $5,200, everybody is going to be on him. Everybody's going to be on him.
Seriously, again, though, when you're talking Ravens and the Bears, we had Tyler Huntley versus Justin Fields for the Bears. This is Roethlisberger and Joe Burrow we're talking about. We've got Deontay Johnson. We've got Joe Mixon. We've got Jamar Chase. We've got Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. A lot of talent there.
I mean,
there's no talent on the Ravens and the
I've seen a lot of talent on the Rams and the Seahawks over years, and they've played 12-9 type games. When they had Todd Gurley's of the world and Tyler Lockett's and, oh gosh, I can't believe I can't remember the other wide receiver in Seattle that recently retired a couple years ago that was highly underrated. But, you know, and Russell Wilson and Jared Goff, with, you know, of course it's Jared Goff, but still, you know what I mean. So it's just not out of the realm of possibility. It's weather could play an impact in it too. I just got a bad feeling about it. And like I said, at $5,200, everybody, their mom and Ben Roethlisberger's mom is going to have him in their lineups.
Exactly. And so on those lines, make sure you tune in to us on Sunday morning on Twitter. I always post my sleepers for the weekend. If weather concerns come into play or if something freaky tiki happens in the days between the publishing of the DFS Dominator article on Friday morning and Sunday, that stuff will all be noted and updated on Twitter at Nuclear Harley.
Okay. So who are you going to pay up for at the running back spot?
I'm opening up the vault to pay up for Christian McCaffrey, Carolina at Miami. Miami's run defense numbers have looked good over the last month and a half. But at closer examination, we can see that they've faced absolutely nobody in their last five games. During the first six games, when they faced legit competition, they allowed an average of just under 160 combo yards per game, six receptions per game, and one touchdown per game to opposing running backs. McCaffrey is back over 100 combo yards per game. Since his return, he's averaging seven receptions per game. This looks like a smash place to play him.
Yeah, so believe it or not, even a week 7 through 10, Miami still ranks top 10 in points allowed to the fantasy running back position. But, and I agree with you, McCaffrey seems to be back to where you want McCaffrey to be at. I had to look at Jonathan Taylor. I mean, but there's no way I could pay up for Jonathan Taylor at 91 and 98. Not against, I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's coming off what he came off against. He's a running back against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not loving it, not paying up for it. McCaffrey, I can see, but I don't love the price still. Austin Eckler, same thing. Don't like him against Denver. That price is still high. But the game I just said that could be a low-scoring affair, for some reason, Najee Harris still feels like he will eat. Even if he scores the only touchdown in the game for the Steelers, he can have 120-plus combined yards with 6-8 catches on top of it all. So he's the guy I'm paying up for at the running back spot.
And you don't have to worry about him being taken out of the game for a concussion.
True. True. Who you staying away from?
You kind of talked about him a little bit there. I'm going to not chase the points with Jonathan Taylor this week. He's coming off a monster game in a very tough spot. I mean, it wasn't like he was poised to have a big game in that game. So he's facing two consecutive suboptimal matchups. Price is obviously higher. The one thing that he can bring some value to this game is that Tampa Bay can be beaten by receiving running backs. We saw that a couple times with Kamara over the last couple of years. But I don't want to pay $9,800 on FanDuel or $9,100 on DraftKings to maybe have him come close to what he did last week.
He's basically
His price is higher than McCaffrey right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically hit 30 points to bring you, you know, a push in value. And
here's the thing. Because of what he did, there's going to be enough people who are just going to play him just because of that.
Yep.
Completely ignoring the fact that they're facing Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. And it's at home, so that's a plus. But still, nah, I'm going to pass. I wouldn't put out of the mind, wouldn't be out of, you know, my mind to think that he's going to have a good day. I just don't see him having a fantastic day, which is what he has to have.
Yes.
Who is your value play? I think we could match here, possibly.
Well, so I wrote someone down, and then I crossed someone out, kind of like you do sometimes. And then I thought about another guy, but my issue with the other guy is that he splits carries. So I decided to go back to my first thought, which is Daryl Henderson at Green Bay. The bottom tier of running backs this week, as far as values, is absolutely awful. There's no one to choose from at like the sub 5,500 price range. Green Bay has been okay against the run, but they're not great, and they're dealing with some injuries in their front seven right now, including one of their best linebackers missed the game against the Vikings. Rams, by the way, they've struggled in two straight games going into the bye. In both those games, one thing that's a common trend is that Henderson didn't get a lot of carries. So they've had a week to think about that. And Sean McVay, he's a smart man. He will look at that and say, oh, shoot, maybe we should try to reestablish the run. That might help us get back on track. So I went with Henderson as my value.
So we kind of disagree. I'm not saying I disagree with Henderson being that play. But I saw a guy that's almost sub 5,000 that I thought was a no-brainer play at this point. He has a few things going for him. One is, I don't think he's going to share much of the carry load because somebody got hurt. He looked like he was going to lose his job based on some fumbles. He did come back from injury. And now, at 5,100, he's facing a team that is top 8 in points allowed to the fantasy running back position. And it's not for the squeamish to start Miles Sanders when you don't have to. But I really think that Sanders is poised. They're running the ball now. They've seemed like they've committed to at least not ignoring it to where you only see 3 running back carries for a game, right?
Yep.
But again, it's Miles Sanders. It's the Eagles offense. I get it. It's not for the squeamish. But I think
if you're going to be really like go against the squeamish thought, I mean, you can certainly look at Boston Scott in that game too. Or look at the Houston Jets game where you could roll out a David Johnson or a Ty Johnson.
Yeah, David Johnson. I mean, that entire offense averaged under 2 yards per carry on like an insane amount of carries this week. Mike Clay tweeted.
But it's the Jets. It's the Jets.
Yeah, it is the Jets. You got to think about it. So they'll probably average 2.9 yards per carry. But yeah.
With anyway. 3 touchdowns scored.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Who are you going to pay up for at wide receiver?
This was a little bit tougher for me. There's actually a little bit of talent to choose from at wide receiver on this slate.
I agree.
I looked at all the top price guys. I wanted to go with Deebo Samuel because I seem to remember the last couple times the Vikings faced San Francisco that Deebo Samuel just absolutely clowned the Vikings. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to put Deebo Samuel in my lineup. I'm going to pay up for someone that's just a little bit more expensive. As part of a game stack, I'm going to put Justin Jefferson as my pay-to-play. Every single alpha wide receiver one to face San Francisco has gone absolutely bat guano crazy against them. This is JJ's turn this week. The last 2 weeks, Kirk Cousins has made a conscientious effort to get Jefferson more involved in the passing deck. He's rewarded him with 17 catches, 302 yards, and 2 touchdowns over that pair of games. Cheaper than Kupp, cheaper than Adams. Again, this is part of a game stack. I'm taking Jefferson, but I'm going to run it back with Debo also.
So, as I lose my headphones here, JJ was the first name I wrote down. Crossed him off. Moved on. Actually put a guy in. I went, no, not, I'm not buying this game, really. I want to buy one player in this game, so I can't do Jamar Chase. And then I went, okay, that's it. I'm settling on. I'm stacking with Tom Brady. So I wrote down Chris Godwin. And then I went, oh, but it could be Mike Evans. I cross him out, put it.
It's the devil's question there.
And I was like, well, you know what? If I don't know which two of those to really to key on, then I got to cross both of them out. I'm going back to my first instinct, and I went with JJ.
Excellent. Yeah, JJ at 8,300 is a good deal this week, 8,100. Yep. Why is JJ cheaper on FanDuel? JJ is not a possession receiver per se.
No.
FanDuel's prices should be cheaper for possession receivers because they don't get the full point per reception. Jefferson is a touchdown receiver. He's a big-bodied outside jump ball threat guy who can get down the field fast. Those players should be more expensive on FanDuel, and for some reason, he's not.
Can't answer that question for you. I'm not their algorithm, but you know we'll take it though.
Sometimes I think these algorithms are crazy. I don't know.
That is true. Who are you staying away from? I think we could match here too.
I'm going to stay away from Devontae Adams. Devontae had a solid but not spectacular game in the playoffs against Jalen Ramsey last year. He had 9 catches for like 66 yards and a touchdown. Well, yeah, again, that's a good game for most people. That's not a good game when your price is $8,600 on DraftKings and $8,700 on FanDuel. He's going to have to do a lot more than that to make him worth paying that dollar amount for. So it was good. I don't mind it, but I'm going to bench him this week in DFS.
So the first name I wrote down was Keenan Allen, and then I decided, because that goes hand in hand with my wanting to stay away from Herbert, right? So I know you would agree with that because you stayed away from Herbert. But yep. Then I went, no, I mean, he's $7,400 bucks. I got to find somebody more expensive to put down. And I landed on Cooper Kupp, and then right under Kupp, of course, is Devontae Adams. And I went, but I'm really concerned about Aaron Rodgers and that toe and how that impacts things. And this definitely could be a lower scoring game. And, oh, by the way, the Rams defense, Jalen Ramsey. So I wound up going with the match of Devontae Adams with us again. So we've got two matches at the wide receiver spot.
That never happens.
No, it does not.
Well, so my value play at wide receiver this week is someone that I mentioned earlier today in the news. That's Laviska Shenault, $4,400 on DraftKings, $5,600 on FanDuel. Jacksonville can no longer keep Shenault on the sidelines with both Agnew and Chark out for the year. For the last 4 weeks, no team has allowed more wide receiver touchdowns than Atlanta. I think he's going to, again, I don't love the Jacksonville offense. They're scary to play a Jacksonville offensive player right now because you don't know what you're going to get with Lawrence and Meyer coaching, but Shenault is the best option at wide receiver there to catch a touchdown this week, I think.
So you can't beat the price. I'm sorry. I can't buy into the team. I just can't. There are some teams that just...
It's hard to buy into them, yes.
It's just you can't trust them to get out of their own way. I'm going with a guy. I actually wrote two guys down. They happen to be for the same team. And the one was cheaper, and that's why I went first. I'm like, hey, value play. Find the most value you can get, right? But then I decided, no, I'm going to pay up a little bit more for a guy that's going to have at least one, maybe two touchdowns. And it's a hard sell for me to say that because this guy never catches touchdowns. Never catches touchdowns. Do you know who I'm picking?
I don't.
I'm picking a guy that has a matchup against a team that through 10 weeks has given up the most points to the wide receiver position. Wait a minute. Hold on. Something's wrong here. Let me make sure I've got the right thing clicked here. Hopefully I didn't pick the wrong thing and don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm sorry. A team that has given up the most points to the wide receiver position on average versus any other team in the NFL. And that's the Tennessee Titans. So initially, I was going to go to Nelson Aguilar, but I'm landing on Jacoby Myers, the guy that never catches touchdowns. Big week.
Well, this is the one touchdown now.
What's that?
Who has one touchdown, though?
He does have one touchdown. He's either possibly going to match that or double it this week because I'm thinking Woo! 1 to 2 touchdowns for Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, no, I like Jacoby Myers. I like Nelson Aguilar in that game, too. I thought for a second you were going to go down the rabbit hole of playing Robbie Anderson this week.
No, not doing that. You don't. There are some things in life you don't have to do when you're playing DFS, and one of them is you don't have to start Sam Darnold or Robbie Anderson or anybody on Carolina not named Christian McCaffrey when he's not hurt.
You know who I really wanted to play as a value play this week, and I was expecting to find his price as a value price, but it wasn't, and that's Elijah Moore. He's actually moved up the cost rankings now to 5,600 and 6,400.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I went much lower looking for a cheaper buy. And Myers is only $5,000, seriously, on DraftKings. So you can't beat that, honestly.
That is not a bad deal.
Who are you going to pay up for at the tight end spot?
Okay. Segueing to tight end, I'm going to pay up for Noah Fant, Denver versus the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim. The Chargers have allowed the second most yards and the second most touchdowns to the tight end position, including 4 touchdowns over their last 2 games.
So, I looked at Fant. I looked at getting Fant into my value play. That's how much I liked Fant. But instead, I wound up looking at a guy. He may not have the best matchup on paper, but I just don't see how you can keep Kyle Pitts if you're going to pay up for a guy at a true look at his value versus everybody else's. That's why I decided to pay up for him and go with him as my pay up instead. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a top 12 matchup for a tight end position. And I mean, he is the man there. And I expect to have to see them bounce back against a team like the Jaguars this week.
I seriously gave consideration to Pitts, and the nice thing about him is after 2 consecutive weeks where Atlanta has completely just rolled over and died, people are not going to play Pitts, so you're going to get good low ownership numbers on him.
Correct.
So I like that element too into play there. Who are you staying away from?
So, you know me, if I'm not going to pay up for the top salary guy, I got to stay away from him. So I'm staying away from George Kittle.
We have a match.
There you go.
Here's a stat for you on George Kittle and facing the Minnesota Vikings. Since the start of 2019, the Vikings have allowed, you want to guess how many touchdowns the Vikings have allowed since the start of 2019 to the tight end position?
6.
I'll let you guess.
6.
Close. The Vikings have allowed 5 tight end touchdowns since 2019 started. They've allowed an average of 4 catches and 46 yards to the position. Not to the top tight end, but to the position room completely each game. As a reference point this year, 8 different teams have given up 6 or more tight end touchdowns this year. The Vikings have now allowed 5 tight end touchdowns in their last 42 games. That includes a touchdown to Josiah DeGuerra last week.
All right. There you go. That makes it easy to stay away then.
Yes, again, Kittle's been playing really, really well. The price isn't super, super high, so people might get, like, snookered into playing him this week. They think, oh, hey, I can get George Kittle for under 6,500 on DraftKings. I got to do that. Like, don't get suckered in. This is a trap play right here.
Yeah, because here's the funny thing. If you look, the Vikings are, I think, number 8 overall in points allowed to the tight end position this year. But only Gerald Everett at 10.4 points. And Max Williams at 16.4 points eclipsed double digits.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm double checking. I didn't miss anything. So, yeah, that's what that is.
Nope, that is correct. Again, it's not a previous site. I said the only tight end touchdown they've given up this year was last week to DeGuerra. And it's not a good setup. I mean, Kittle might get like 5 or 50, and that might be his ceiling this week.
Yes. So, I already told you I like Noah Fant. That's why I didn't pay up for him.
See your value play.
Of course he's not my value play. He should be. But I have to try and go against the tight end factory point scoring machine defensive side of the ball that allows it. And how do you pass up Evan Engram against the Eagles?
Trust the process, baby. That's a match.
There you go.
Tight ends against Philadelphia. Last week, Adam Trautman continued the downright onslaught on the secondary. They lead the league in futility in every statistical category against the tight end position. Absolutely every category against the position. Foulness supreme for the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they're one of your teams that you support up there, but stopping tight ends. I think we had something like this a couple of years ago with Arizona against the tight end position. Yes. This is almost as bad, if not worse.
Yep. No, and I think that puts us at a push. You stayed away from JT, right, at running back?
Running back, I stayed away from Jonathan Taylor, yes.
So we matched on Tom Brady, the stay away with Jonathan Taylor. Then we matched on two of the wide receivers. So there's four. And then we just matched on Kittle and Ingram. So we pushed. Not bad.
Excellent.
Recovery.
And it is a recovery after not getting the over on the Thursday short slate.
Yeah, that's crazy. We matched more on the larger slate than we did on the short Thursday slate. Did not.
That was not to be expected.
Not at all. But anyway, hopefully we enlighten people to, you know, what our thoughts are and why and how things are. Believe it or not, this is one of our longer shows, even though it wasn't supposed to be. But it is what it is. And if you have any Turkey Day needs, culinary or otherwise, I guess, you can reach out to Harley at Nuclear Harley. You can reach out to me at Steve Gallo NFL. Of course, subscribe to The Huddle if you're not already doing that. And Harley, before I sign off, I just want to say I wish you and your wife and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful
that I have
you as a partner in crime to do this with each week, week in and week out. And you know what? I just wish the best for you guys. And I wish the best for all of our listeners, as I'm sure that you do. And with that, let's just raise a glass and let's get blitz responsible. Cheers.